Yes, this is Spice Radio, 1200 AM. You're tuned into the Morning Buzz with me, Natasha, along with me, Mankrin Aujla, in the studios. This month, we celebrated International Women's Day on the 8th of March. And I came across this article on City News talking about how Canadian women were hardest hit by the pandemic recession. And to shed more light on this, we have on the phone line senior researcher and, of course, the lead researcher on the project, Catherine Scott, who is from the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, joining us. A very good morning to you, Catherine.
Good morning, Natasha.
And thank you so much for your time this morning. So, Catherine, when we talk about this pandemic recession, we've had recessions before. How different is this from the previous ones?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me on and to talk about this, to talk about the work we've been doing. This recession, certainly back in 2020, it's hard to believe, it's like 4 years ago now, but was quite different. Other recessions that we're familiar with in the past, and in the 80s and 90s, and even in 2008, they really impacted export industries first, manufacturing and the like, and those are really sectors that are largely staffed by men. And what was different when the pandemic hit, of course, was it was all about the frontline service sectors, low-wage employment. And so you saw massive job loss and people's hours reduced in these areas. And these are areas where large numbers of women work. So they were very hard hit.
This is very interesting. I never thought about it. So when I did read your research, I said, how come I didn't even think about it? Looking at this pandemic with the gender, with the lens, with the gender's lens is so very important. And when you, what you are doing is that you are tracking women's economic recovery. And how would you describe it, if at all, this whole journey post-pandemic?
The project was all about, we had this cataclysmic economic, public health and economic event, and who got hit hardest and where are they now? So, as I said, folks in the service sector, frontline services, our care economy, healthcare and the like, personal support workers who work in long-term care homes, those workers were impacted the most. Partly they experienced, certainly for frontline workers and so forth, they experienced job loss, but they also were the group of workers that went to work every day with the fear of the virus and so forth, bringing it home to their families. For women, of course, they also had the added pressures for those living in provinces where there were school closures and childcare closures, community supports were closed down or pivoted to virtual. So they had all that, responsibility at home. So this was a really tumultuous and stressful time for many, many women. And then, what happened, sort of fast forward to today, we've had an economic recovery. Some groups of workers have bounded back. Some group of workers weren't hit really hard at all. They were able to pivot and work from home, fairly secure and protected. But other workers, think of restaurant workers, some folks in some types of manufacturing, they've been on an economic roller coaster. It's been a very difficult few years for those workers.
And very interestingly, I think this research also sheds light on the socioeconomic impact on women, especially when you talk about childcare, when you talk about working from home. Any insights on that?
Well, absolutely. It really, we think about this event, everybody, the reality is when we think back to it, of course, it unfolded this way. Women carry a disproportionate responsibility for care in the home. We have a healthcare crisis. Terrible deaths and tragedy in long-term care and the like, many illnesses, people falling ill before we had mass vaccination. So women really stepped up to shoulder that care burden. And, there's lots of funny videos of, workers with kids running around in the background of Zoom calls, but the reality of living that wasn't so fun. And in fact, one of the really significant legacies of the pandemic is the increase in mental health troubles that women report now. And, of course, it's really important the surge in gender-based violence that happened when women were literally locked in the homes with their abusers. So it really, this pandemic was very much an experience about women and how they've navigated that.
Wow. And you also said that the pandemic was a great indicator to shed light on how our labor market works. Has anything changed pre- and post-pandemic?
Well, I think, there's a couple of really important things that we can talk about how the labor market worked. And, it really showed where there were flaws in the way Canada, our social safety net, You know, we didn't have the employment insurance program that's there to help workers if they're thrown out of work. You know, it doesn't really cover many of the workers that were really impacted, whether they're newcomers or folks that are working part-time and so forth. So the government had to create a new program, CERB, right? And
Right. Investor
programs in order to support. So yet those programs are gone, but we haven't actually fixed the income security programs that weren't working in the first place. And it also shows things like, you know, so many workers don't have access to paid sick leave, or they don't have, you know, protections that, you know, that they needed to sort of continue to work, or access to a living wage. So all of, you know, the pandemic really highlighted glaring problems that we have and really sets the agenda for what we need to do better.
And if we have to do, you know, kind of a look back and then take some learnings going forward, you did mention that Canada's pandemic response, especially towards women, was a little different. And I would add a little bit of positivity to that. So you want to shed light on, you know, the provincial gender responses when it came to the aid that they gave us?
Yeah, no, that's right. In Canada, of course, large country with many provinces, and a lot of the discussion about the pandemic response was focused on the federal government at the time, and the federal government did carry the bulk of it, like overwhelmingly provided the financial support to other levels of government to, you know, bankroll the healthcare response. They rolled out a national vaccination program. But, you know, the provinces were responsible for dealing with the stress and struggles that women were experiencing in care, like, you know, extending supports to families and mothers and families who were struggling at home. They were responsible for providing, you know, access to essential services like gender-based violence shelters and child care and all the like. And many provinces didn't think this was necessarily important. They didn't focus their attention there. BC actually sets out, just talking about BC, because the provincial government there, of all the provincial governments in Canada, it had the largest pandemic response that addressed some of the problems that women and other marginalized groups were facing.
Interesting. Now, as we move forward, I mean, what would your suggestions be as to what changes we could bring about, especially when employers are trying to support their women population?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And it is all about what are the lessons we learned from the pandemic and how to do better. Certainly, I've been talking about low-waged workers. We've talked to, you know, folks in our clerks in grocery stores or, you know, low-wage workers in the care economy, like personal support workers and like. I think there's a really an important agenda about strengthening worker employment standards, raising, you know, minimum wages and access to a living wage, because, of course, right now we're struggling with the very high cost of living, which, of course, is really, really taking a bite out of family budgets and stress, and I know that's acute for folks in the greater Vancouver area. Those are really important reforms that we need to be looking at, as well as, I mentioned, in strengthening our income security programs so that people have the income, you know, access to income support in situations when they need that. But, yeah, I think we really have to do a much better job at protecting low-wage workers. And this includes, and, you know, there's a conversation right now about temporary foreign workers. And, you know, there's a huge influx, you know, and lots of newcomers coming to Canada, yet they don't have access to the same rights and protections. So it really does include important reforms to the immigration policy so that folks working in lower income jobs have access to the wages and, you know, protections they need to, you know, decent jobs. It's a really important piece of what we need to be focusing on right now.
And Catherine, I do know that the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives does a lot of great work when it comes to, you know, tracking, of course, women's economic recovery, doing some research on, you know, their status and what they need to be given. So is there any way that, you know, people can get more involved and they can do something as well? They can contribute as well?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we do lots of research, and I'll give a shout out. We have a BC office that is very involved looking at certainly putting out research, but policy alternatives, like suggestions about how folks, certainly in BC, can be doing, you know, what types of policies are necessary to improve the lives and working conditions of low-wage workers and of all, you know, in all groups, and that includes not only women, but, you know, obviously I said newcomers, Indigenous communities, other folks that are folks facing challenges. So I would certainly encourage folks to check out what the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, our BC office, is doing, and our national work as well. We got the federal budget coming up around the corner, so we're busy making recommendations about what we hope to see there. Because, you know, as a wealthy country, we need to really take a look at what's going on in our labor market and ensure that those in the low-wage labor market are protected. And that includes folks in the care economy, child care. There's a variety of ways that we can obviously make things better.
Right. Thank you so much, Catherine, for your time this morning. And thank you so much for shedding light on some very important aspects on the women fraternity. I really need to thank you. This was very insightful.
My pleasure, Natasha.
You have a beautiful day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.